Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis in chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. I want to preach on forgiveness this morning. I heard a preacher preach on forgiveness on Tuesday morning. I thought, man, you know that is a bell that needs to be rung. And I haven't preached a whole message along that line in a long, long time. So here we are, Genesis chapter 45. Stand with me one more time. Allow me to read three or four verses. Verse 2 says, and this is speaking to Joseph, about Joseph. He wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Man, they were shocked. Verse 5 says, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Joseph says, don't be angry with yourselves. You know who should have been angry? Joseph in the flesh. He's the guy that has reason for anger. But I want you to know, and through the course of this message, I may not say this again, Joseph forgave his 11 brothers right from the beginning. Joseph, a picture of Jesus Christ. Joseph, a man of God, 17 years old when this happened. And then it was a 13-year journey. He forgave his brothers right from the beginning. Father, we pray your blessing upon the word of God. Lord, arrest our attention this morning. Do in our midst what needs to be done. Please, God, we are a fallen people. Without Christ, we're lost and without hope. And I pray if there's anybody here not born again, or anybody listening to the radio broadcast or watching a live stream service and they're not born again, we pray for their salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. I'll say this one more time. I know I said the whole sermon last Sunday was about this, but November the 5th, Election Day, that was a miracle. I really feel like God just kind of gave us, it's just structure, didn't change America. Politics will never change America. Washington could never save America. It's God the Holy Spirit coming into the hearts of fallen sinners, them repenting of their sin and birthing them into the family of God. We got to get more and more people born again. That is the hope of America. But you know, we're going to go through life rubbing shoulders in the family of God, offending one another from time to time. In fact, there might be somebody in the church family that you are a little bit ticked off about here this morning. I don't know that that's the case. I'm not preaching at anybody, but it might be somebody that they rub the fur the wrong way. Every time they're in your presence, you just kind of hackle up. I want to say this, buddy, you got a problem. There is a sickness in your soul that ought not to be found in the family of God. Amen. It is a heaviness that if you don't take care of it, you're going to carry it the rest of your life. And you're going to go through life making more and more enemies as you go along. You can't be a bridge burner. You can't be someone that goes around blowing up relationships. Man, that is not a trait of someone who is born again. I'm gonna try to wax eloquent on this morning. I pray and I trust that God will get a hold of all of our hearts. Before we read another verse in the book of Genesis, let's go back to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew in chapter 7. I want you to see what Jesus said here, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you. So many today are carrying baggage that they do not need to carry. It will bring sorrow to your soul. You'll never be able to traverse the mountains that God has in your life for you to conquer. You'll never get it because you're carrying weights that you ought not to be carrying. For whatever reason, you've gotten ingrown and you think you wouldn't word it this way, but it's all about you. And when somebody does you wrong, you burn a bridge. When somebody does you wrong, you hold a grudge. You never forgive them. I want you to know, I want you to hear the words of Jesus, and I want you to know you're setting your future up. It says in verse 1 of chapter 7, judge not that ye be not judged. That's talking of that critical spirit, that hypo-pseudo-spiritual critical spirit. For with what judgment ye judge, Ye shall be judged. Now we're to judge according to the word of God. And we're to judge one fallen man to another fallen man. He says, with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, listen to Jesus, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Having a right heart. We are a forgiven family of God. We ought to be the most forgiving people on the planet. You've heard me preach this before, and I don't preach this often. I am going to err on mercy when it comes to my brothers and my sisters in Christ. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. And brother and sister, we have been given mercy. We have been given mercy. And we are to rightly meet that mercy out. I heard an old preacher say this summer, and I made a note of it. Never judge a brother by his weakest moment. And I'm glad my God doesn't do that for me. I am so glad he does not do that with me. I don't know how this happens, but Jesus said, with what judgment you judge, you'll be judged accordingly. With whatever meat you use, whatever measurement, that's how it's going to be measured. And I just think that has to do with the bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody there is born again. But I believe that critical, judgmental heart, somehow that colors the works, the events, the things that we accomplish for God. I want to be like Jesus. You are never more like Jesus than when you hold the banner of righteousness high and yet measure out mercy. That's what being a soul winner is. Man, so don't get high and mighty. Don't be like that sophomore in Bible college. Now you got some answers and everybody else is wrong. Man, that's not how it's supposed to work. And when we speak of judgment, I think of Joseph and how anybody could have been critical, it was Joseph. Go to Genesis chapter 37. An unforgiving spirit will poison your soul. An unforgiving spirit will sink your spirit. You'll be carrying things you're not supposed to carry. I want to help you. Don't go through life burning bridges. You're going to have to cross that bridge one day. What goes around comes around. That's not in the Bible, but the principle is certainly in the Word of God. This is for the most mature Christian here. You understand you can jump on your sister that falls or stumbles. You can get all over them with the wrong spirit. And I've seen this lived out 1,000 times. And the people that are the most critical, pretty soon, they go through the very same thing. With what measure ye meet, it shall be meted to you again. That wasn't just some exaggerating preacher that said that. That's Jesus. Genesis chapter 37, let me turn back there now. Let's rehearse real quickly a little bit about Joseph and what he did. Verse 1, it says, Jacob dwelt in the land. Let's go on down to verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children. Jacob loved Joseph. This is a story of God preserving Israel. This is a story of brother forgiving brother after being mistreated, after being hated, after almost being murdered. In fact, some of his brethren wanted him dead. They hated him. They couldn't even talk civil to him. He's just a 17-year-old boy. He's the youngest of Jacob's sons. Verse 3, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And maybe you got a little brother or a little sister and they kind of got a little spoiled along the way. Maybe you could relate to this just a little bit. I was the oldest in my family. And every one of my brothers that were smaller than me were spoiled rotten. Every one of them. My sister, spoiled rotten. That's just kind of how you look at it as the older person. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. Circle the word hate. And could not speak peaceably unto him. They disdained him. They couldn't even look at him and talk to him in a civil way. And Joseph dreamed a dream and he told it his brethren and they hated him yet the more. And the word hate there is found again in verse 8. And they despised him. Shed yourself of that excess baggage of hatred and grudges and keeping score. You are wrong if you're doing that as a child of God. You know the story about Joseph. They found, they threw him in a pit, verse 20, 23 of the same chapter of chapter 37. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat and his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty and there was no water in it. So, man, they hated him. And this 17-year-old boy goes on this 13-year-old journey to becoming second in the land of Egypt, the most powerful nation in the world, second only to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh trusted him completely. How did that happen? How did that 13-year journey take place so quickly? And how was it every time Joseph turned around, God prospered him? Every time Joseph turned around, because a lot of bad things happened to Joseph. He went from the pit, which he did not deserve, to Potiphar's house. He was sold to the Ishmaelites and went to Potiphar's house. From Potiphar's house, unjustly, to the prison. And from the prison, he finally ends up in the palace. How did that happen to this 17-year-old boy? He was a man who loved God so much and had experienced so much the mercy of God. The best of us. The best of us. The one of us that sins the least. I don't know who that possibly could be. It's not me. The best of us, we know the mercy of God in a great and powerful way. And Joseph never kept score. There's about five chapters here. We can't preach it all. He never kept score. He spent no time in the pit hating his brothers. He forgave them already. They finally dragged him out of the pit, and he thought he was being rescued, and he was sold as a slave. And he forgave his brothers again. He ends up in Potiphar's house, and he rises to the top, and then he's falsely accused. And so unjustly, he's thrown into prison. And Joseph forgives again. He shows mercy. He interprets the baker's dream and the butler's dream. And says, don't forget me when you get to the palace. And they forgot him for 2 years. And he forgave them immediately. It is no surprise to me that God used this man, Joseph, who, by the way, picture of Jesus, just a picture, he's not Jesus, a picture of Jesus, nothing evil is said about Joseph. Boy, there's somebody I could try to attain to. I think it would be profitable. Let me see if there's anything else I want to say before we get to verse 45, chapter 45. Now he's, without reading the text, the entire text, he's second in the land of Egypt. He rides in the second chariot after Pharaoh. People bow down to him. People adore him as the leader of the nation, the most powerful nation in the world of that day. And God put Joseph there. See, this is what Joseph didn't know. This was all the plan of God. And God knew that he could trust Joseph to be a forgiving spirit, to show mercy. And he was bringing Joseph along this journey, this 13-year journey with more downs than ups and more down days than up days. And all the way along, Joseph showed forgiveness. And then Joseph gets in a place of great power. And God uses Joseph to spare the nation Israel. Powerful. Now I want to just draw some conclusions from this. Verse 1 of chapter 45, Joseph could not refrain himself without the whole story. Now his brethren, his brothers, are standing before him. He's on the throne. He has a power of life and death. He sees his brothers, and he can hardly contain, they disdained him, and he could hardly hold back the tears. It says in verse 1, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all the men that stood by him, all the officers and everybody around him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me, all the Egyptians, leave, everybody leave. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. Forgiving and forgiveness frees us up to serve God. That's point number one. If you're not a forgiving person, you'll not be able to serve God with any lasting fashion. Forgiveness frees us up to serve God. Can I say this? Get yourself right. Number one, make sure you're saved. Make sure you're born again. Being religious isn't going to cut it. You need Jesus as your personal savior. People get saved here all the time. We're working at every avenue, every angle. because we're that lighthouse. We're called of God to be a New Testament local church, and we lean into evangelism. Something cool this year, I mean, I shared this on prayer meeting. We have public schools come in and play our Maplewood Baptist Academy, and they got to buy a ticket at the door out at the Heritage Center and so on and so forth. And we give them a ticket. My wife always handed out tracts to everybody that would take them. Not everybody would take them. Here's something that's ingenious. We got tickets printed up this year. It says, admit one, Maplewood Baptist Academy Black Bears. And on the back, it's a gospel track, man. They got to pay to get the ticket, pay to get a gospel track. Man, how good is that? This is ingenious. I must have thought this out. I'm not sure, but it must have been me. That is ingenious. Number one, you say, why is that so important? Because if you're not born again, you're going to hell. You need to make sure you're saved. And once you're forgiven by God, you need to understand, get yourself right, forgive yourself. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Go to Psalm 103, very quickly, 103rd Psalm, verses 8 through 14. The Lord is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Man, I had a big amen there. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. No grudges. You ought to be able to say amen to that. Amen. Doesn't hold any grudges. Somebody showed me a message that came across on our live stream. And it was that last Sunday morning's message. And they're probably watching this morning. And the person said, I don't know if you got an amen corner up there, but you all got one down in Missouri right now. And we ought to learn to say amen once in a while when the word of God is being spoken and it's true and you agree with it. And one thing you better be able to agree with and you ought to be happy about agreeing with, our God's slow to anger. He's merciful. And then he says here in verse, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Then you ought to be able to forgive yourself, because the holy God in heaven has been able to forgive you. He's washed all your sins away as far as the east is from the west. So don't drag around your past like it's a ball and chain tied to your ankle. Forgive yourself. You're born again. You've repented of your sin. Forgive yourself and stand in the mercy of God. Stand in the grace of God. Forgiveness frees us up to serve others. You'll never be able to forgive others if you've not forgiven yourself. Accept the mercy of God and be like Jesus. Can I tell you this? That part's easy. You say, preacher, what do you mean that's easy? In my standing, I am in Christ. It's easy to be merciful when I remember what he's done for me. It's easy to forgive my brother when I remember what he has done for me and what he has forgiven me of. Man, he is merciful and forgives me even after I'm born again. He knows I'm going to sin again tomorrow. But he's a forever Savior. And it is a forever, eternal life. It's easy to show a little bit mercy. It's when you get fleshly and full of yourselves, it's not easy to show mercy. Forgive yourself. Forgiveness, forgive others. Forgiveness frees us up to serve God. Forgiveness also allows us to love people. Look what it says here in verse 2, back in Genesis 45. And he wept aloud. The Egyptians are gone. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. Understand this. So the Egyptians are out of the throne room. They're out of the room. Get out of here. Everybody leave. Everybody leave. They all scurry out of there. Man, this is Joseph. Second in all of Egypt. They all get out. All that's before him is his brethren. And he can't contain himself. And through the course of the next few verses, the weeping is so loud, the Egyptians are wondering, what's going on in there? Man, that's Joseph crying. He wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, this had to be like a rock hitting the floor. I am Joseph. Man, they sold him as a slave. They had tried to kill him. Surely he's dead by this time. We're standing before the most mighty man in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. And in him is our salvation. And he is going to provide sustenance to these years of famine. And they think, man, they're in trouble now. And they hear these words, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence, I guess so. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. Come here, come here. And they came near. I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Joseph had already forgiven his brothers. I submit to you that he forgave his brothers the day of the incident. The next morning, he didn't get up hating his brothers. He had already forgiven them. Here is a vessel that God can use. Forgiveness frees us up to serve God. Forgiveness allows us to love people in our heart. Look at verse 5. Forgiveness promotes forgiveness. And now therefore be not grieved. Man, he's concerned about them. Nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Joseph says, it's all clear to me now. God has put me here on this throne to spare Israel. Because the Messiah must come through Israel. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land. And yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Man, a great deliverance, like the day I got saved. A great deliverance, like the day that God reached down and got a hold of a fifth grade sinner boy who had nothing to offer him and lifted his feet out of the miry clay and saved him by way of mercy, by way of forgiveness. So now it was not that you sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. Got to move on. No grudges. Forgive yourself. Forgive others. Maybe you have a hard time forgiving others because you have never forgiven yourself. Maybe you've never really gotten a hold of the mercy of God and really what he did for you the day you got saved. How he saved you forever. How he washed away all your sin as far as the east is from the west. Man, it's gone. That's what the Bible's saying. The psalmist is saying, it's gone. That's immeasurable as far as the east is from the west. It's gone. You go east, you go east, you go east, you keep going east, you'll keep going east. It's forever. You go north, eventually you're going to be going south. But now when you go east-west, you go west, you go west, you go west, and you just keep going that direction, you're going to forever go west. That's how far our sins are gone, as far as the east is from the west. And right at the end of that psalm, in Psalm 103, it says he knows our frame. He knows we're going to disappoint him. But it's still mercy, and it is still grace, and it is the mercy of God that allows us to be able to forgive others. Forgiveness promotes forgiveness. Look at verse 9. Forgiveness promotes healing, the healing of broken relationships. It might be that someone has driven a wedge in your family. It might be that because of that wedge, you've gotten cold towards God. Can I say this? To every mature child of God that's here this morning, there ought not to be anybody on this earth that you hate. There should be no one on this earth, and especially in the family of God, that you have ill feelings toward. Where's that mercy? Where's that forgiveness that you got? Remember the parable of the unprofitable servant? Am I thinking of the right parable? Where the guy was forgiven all of these, an insurmountable amount of money. He begged for mercy and the master gave him mercy. And then someone owed him some money and it was just 100 pence is all it was, the scripture says. Very little money at all and nothing in comparison. And he grabbed the person that owed him money by the throat and said, what's the matter with you? And that news of that got back to the master. And that parable is very explicit and teaches a very powerful lesson. After all God has done and forgiven you, how can you not forgive your brother and your sister? Say, this kind of baby stuff, isn't it, Pastor? I mean, shouldn't, no. This is nuts and bolts. This is where we live. I'm talking about family members. I'm talking about people that you work with. As a child of God, we ought to be the most forgiving people there are. Look what it says here in verse 9. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me and tarry not. Let's get the family together again. Go back and get dad. Go back and get daddy and bring him here to Egypt because God has blessed me and I am going to be able to care for him now. I am going to be able to bless him. And if you know the story of Joseph, don't have time. We can't preach it. We can't go there. Man, what is it tender? He could not believe this. Jacob could not believe his son was still alive. In fact, it almost killed him when he got the news. And finally, when he could catch his breath again, they said, your son Joseph, he's alive. He's alive. You got to be kidding. And so they loaded up and they headed to Egypt and they lived in the land of Goshen, and God took care of them and God blessed them. And under that Pharaoh, they knew nothing but the blessing of God. And I don't want to go too far down that path because there's some more preaching down there. Look what it says in verses 10 and 11, one more time. In Genesis in chapter 45, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And if Joseph is a picture of Jesus, Jesus says, you come to me. You come and you live in the land of Goshen. And even in this land of Egypt, I'm going to prosper you. Even in this land of Egypt, I'm going to provide for you every single step of the way. Go to the last couple of verses in chapter 45, 26 through 28. And told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. Too good to be true. And they told him all the words of Joseph. I don't know if you've ever gotten any kind of news like that. If you've ever had any tragedy in your life, you've heard things like, Jody's dead. What? He didn't make it. What? That's the same feeling that Joseph had here, Jacob had here, but it was the other way around. Joseph is alive. What? Your son is alive. He rules in the land of Egypt under Pharaoh. Dad, he sent for you. We're supposed to pack up everything. There's 5 more years of famine coming. He's provided for us. He said he'll meet our every need. Verse 28. And Israel said, that's Jacob. Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. All of this story, none of it would have happened without forgiveness. Go to Job 42. I'm out of time. Job in chapter 42, in verse 10. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, talking to the church, tenderhearted. Listen to this, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We ought to be the best forgivers in the world. Paul said to the church at Ephesus, be kind, be tenderhearted, be merciful, and forgive. Even as Christ hath forgiven you. I've been forgiven of a lot. Job 42, verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. You maybe have not thought about this verse before. Job comes later in his life. Now he's in the blessing of God again. It says he was in captivity. In chains. See, there are no chains there. Oh, Job had some ill feelings towards his brethren. He finally forgave them. He finally prayed for them. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And I'll not read the next verse. And you know that Job got everything he had before, only double. He forgave his brethren. Again, forgiveness frees us up so we can serve God. Forgiveness allows us to love people. Forgiveness promotes forgiveness. Forgiveness promotes healing, the healing of broken relationships. And forgiveness frees us up to be in the service of the King, just like that first point. What a God we serve. Forgiveness opens the door of opportunity.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.